As the Lord shall be pleased to help us this afternoon, we would direct your prayerful attention to the book of Genesis, chapter 22, and the first part of the 8th verse. Genesis, chapter 22, and the first part of verse 8. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt sacrifice, a burnt offering." And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." As we were meditating upon those words in John 8 this morning, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." Surely this was one time in Abraham's life when he saw the day of Christ, when he saw this great provision that God would make for his people, as the Lord himself was to provide the lamb for a sacrifice, for an offering, and that lamb was to be the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What a wonderful opening up we have in this 22nd of Genesis, of the wonderful way in which the Lord Jesus became our substitute, the one who stands between us and God. And so let us look at these things briefly that we have in the chapter before we come to the actual verse itself. We find, first of all, that this is God trying Abraham's faith. The word "tempt" in the first verse means really to try, to test. And this is what God was doing to Abraham. Abraham was favored with great faith. We were looking at that wonderful word in Romans in the interval, where the apostle writes concerning the greatness of this faith of Abraham. And the wonderful way the apostle brings it out in the 4th chapter to the Romans, when he speaks concerning Abraham, he says this: "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith," no, he was not in faith, "being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." That's what we desire more of, isn't it? That strong faith, that which enables us to look back to the day of Christ and to know something of that rejoicing and gladness that Abraham knew as he looked forward to God's day, to Christ's day, and saw it and was glad. And so this faith, you see, although it was so real, it had to be tested. And if you and I, friends, have this faith, the faith that we've read of in the 11th of Hebrews, it will be tested. It will be tried. In some way or another, God will test us, and we shall know something of this trial that Abraham knew, not in the same degree and not in the same way, because this was a heavy trial when the Lord told him to take this beloved son, the one who he'd waited so long for. Oh, how long was the time that Abraham waited from the time he had the promise to the time that this son was born. But now he's told to take this dear son, his only son Isaac, whom he loved, and to get into the land of Moriah. And surely we can see Jesus Christ in the son Isaac, and the father in Abraham, God the Father in Abraham, and God the Son in Isaac. The Father loved the Son from all eternity, and the Father the Heavenly Father went further than Abraham. Abraham was stayed from stretching forth his hand against his own son, but the Father in heaven, no. The Lord Jesus had to go through. He had to die on that cross so that he might put away the sins of his people. And it's significant where he had to go. The very land of Moriah is surely near that place where the Lord himself suffered. It was Jerusalem. It was where the Lord Jesus Christ would eventually have to suffer on Mount Calvary. The land of Moriah. And he was to offer up this son as a burnt offering. But how obedient he was. With this faith, you know, there will be obedience. If God has given us the gift of faith, I believe we shall show that we have faith by being obedient to all God says. We shall want to do the things that he has said in his word. If he has told us to do something, we shall want to do it, because Abraham showed this in rising up early in the morning. Didn't hesitate. He got up early that morning, saddled his ass, and took these two young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he got the wood ready, and he went to the place of which God had told him. And then he lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham spoke to the young men. He said to them, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you." And surely this is significant where we read that he took the wood. Mind us of the cross of Christ. He took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac. The cross was laid upon Christ. He bore it to Calvary. It was laid upon Isaac, his son. He took the fire. What does the fire speak to us of? The wrath of God against sin. The wrath of God is like a fire. And the Lord Jesus had to bear that wrath on the cross at Calvary. He took the fire in his hand and a knife. What does the knife remind us of? The sword of God's justice. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is mine equal." Yes, a knife. And they went both of them together. And then you come to this question of Isaac. What a question it must have been. "My father, here am I, my son. Behold the fire and the wood. Behold these two things. But where is the lamb? Where is that animal that needs to be offered up? Where is the most important thing of all?" Now the text, friends, is Abraham's answer. And what an answer it was. What faith it shows Abraham had. You see, he was able to answer that son with such a definite word. "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." He knew that God would provide something. He knew that God would make a way. And even if the ram had not been provided, we have read in the 11th of Hebrews that he believed that God was able to raise up Isaac from the dead. But here, friends, we have Abraham surely rejoicing to see the day of Christ. He sees it in this lamb. He sees this glorious person. "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." Here is God's wonderful provision from all eternity. God had said in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, "The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head." That surely speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was to be this provision, the provision of the Lamb. God will provide himself a Lamb. And so, after this answer being given, they came to the place. Abraham builds the altar, lays the wood in order, binds Isaac his son, and lays him on the altar. And he stretches forth a hand and takes the knife to slay his son. And then we read of how the Lord appears and he says to him, Abraham, Abraham, and he says, Here am I. And then the Lord says, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw Christ again. He looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket. He saw the day of Christ. He saw it and was glad. And he went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. So, surely, friends, in the year before us, we see God's dear son in this lamb. God will provide himself a lamb. And I want to look at this lamb this afternoon, this provision that Abraham saw, and he saw Christ in it. And we want to see in the scriptures how that the Lord has shown it to his people right through the scriptures of truth. In the 12th chapter of Exodus, when those Israelites came forth out of Egyptian bondage, the Lord showed them there this great provision. God will provide himself a lamb. And they were to take a lamb on that occasion. And again, we can see Christ here, because it says your lamb should be without blemish. Mustn't be any blemish in it. It must be absolutely pure and without blemish. And Christ himself, friends, was without blemish. Oh yes, Jesus Christ is here in this lamb. And we were thinking last Lord's Day of the precious blood, and how that in this 12th of Exodus you have this wonderful atonement set before us. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. They had to sprinkle the blood upon the lintel and the two side posts of the houses where they dwelt. Yes, and it's very significant, you know, that when they did that, they had to do it with a bunch of hyssop, because this was how they were to sprinkle the blood. And I feel David, when he prayed that prayer in Psalm 51, he surely thought something about this. Purge me with hyssop, and I should be clean. Wash me, and I should be whiter than snow. He was looking to the blood of Christ. They were to take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood and strike the lintel and the two side posts of the houses where they dwelt with the blood. Oh, what a wonderful thing, friends, to be under the blood of Jesus. Oh, to know something of this precious blood of Christ. This then is the Passover lamb. This wonderful instance of the people coming out of Egyptian bondage was to be remembered year by year. And they were to keep the feast of the Passover. And when the Lord Jesus himself actually came to his sufferings, it was at that particular time when they kept the Passover. Because when he instituted the Lord's Supper, he said, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He was the great antitype of all these types and shadows in the Old Testament. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. What a provision this is. How wonderful to see this great provision. And one feels we must speak not only of the books of Moses as we think of these things, but also the prophets. Because when the Lord Jesus was speaking to those two on the Emmaus Road, he went back to the books of Moses and all the prophets, and expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And oh, how many things there are in the prophecies that speak to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are thinking now particularly of that outstanding chapter in the book of the prophet Isaiah, where we see again this provision of the Lamb. God will provide himself a Lamb. And surely it's found in that seventh verse. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And how passive he was. Oh, how he, as it were, went forth to meet the enemy. Even when he was in the garden, I was reading that in the 19th chapter of John this morning before we left home, of how he went forth to meet Judas Iscariot and those who came to take him. And when he went forth to meet them, he said, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "I am he." And you know, as soon as he spoke those three words, they fell backward on the ground. It shows the greatness of this person. The same person that we were reading of this morning, who said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And when he says, "I am he," they fall backward on the ground. Oh, friends, this is the glorious person who is also the Lamb provided, brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And this precious lamb, you know, he is the one that the eunuch saw. When the eunuch in the 8th chapter of Acts was riding in his chariot that day and reading in the Old Testament scriptures, he was reading this very chapter we've just referred to. And as the Lord's servant Philip was sent to that desert place, we read of how he came to where the chariot was, and the Spirit said to his servant, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him reading in the scriptures. He heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he puts the question to him, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And the dear man says, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And what was the scripture he was reading? What was the verse, friends, he got to when the Lord's servant came into the chariot with him? The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth." He was reading of this provided lamb, this wonderful, glorious person. And this man didn't know him. He was like those unbelieving Jews, you know. He didn't know who it was he was reading of, until the Lord's servant told him that it was Jesus. He preached unto him Jesus. And when the dear man realized who it was, as Jesus had been preached to him, how wonderful it was that when they went on their way and they saw this certain water, that the dear man says, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And he was brought to follow Christ. He was brought to believe. He had this faith in Christ. Oh, what a wonderful favour it is, friends, to be given that faith. I felt as we were singing the first hymn, how wonderful that gift is, to be able to look back 1,000 years and to look forward 1,000 years and to look back further than that, right to the beginning of creation, and to believe those things that we read of in the 11th of Hebrews. Oh, to have such a faith, friends, to believe in that which we read. Surely it is wonderful to possess such a faith. Because, you know, in our day and age, there are those who would cut out those first chapters in Genesis, if they could. They would say that they're only stories. They would cut them out. But you know, friends, if we have faith, we shall realize this. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And so you see, we can look back all that time to the creation and believe that God made this earth. And we can look forward and to believe those things that we read of in the Revelation and in the epistles concerning the second coming of Christ. And we can believe that these things will take place because they've been spoken by God. What a favor it is, friend, to have this faith. And as we were reading of these different characters in the 11th of Hebrews, what a favor to be like Abel. He had the same faith as Abraham. And I felt it was rather significant when we were speaking to our aged friend in the interval, when we were speaking quite a bit about David, and I told him what the text was this morning. He said, well, surely David could say the same as Abraham. And it could be said of David, David rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Yes, of course he did. David saw it. Abel saw it. Enoch saw it. Noah saw it. And they all saw it by faith. They all had this same gift. What a wonderful thing to have this faith, the faith of Abraham. This faith of Abraham is spoken of here in this chapter. First of all, it's spoken of like this. When he was called to go into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, he obeyed. When God told him to come out of Ur of the Chaldees, he came out. He obeyed because he had faith in God. And he went out not knowing whither he went. And also, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country. He had the faith of God's elect, and he was looking forward to a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And if we are the same as Abraham, friends, we're looking forward to the same city. We're looking forward to the same blessed place. That city above, that land of pure delight, where saints immortal reign. So what a blessing faith is. And you see, when it comes to speak of this instance in the 22nd of Genesis, Paul writes, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, yes, this testing of faith, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And what a favor that he believed in the resurrection. Even Abraham, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Abraham believed in the resurrection. So did Job. And so do we, if we've got this faith. We believe in that word, and that's a wonderful word to me, in the Philippians, you know, concerning the resurrection. Oh, how wonderful it is to believe in it and to look forward to it. For in the Revelation, in the Philippians, we find it recorded that our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. We believe that we shall see him as he is, and be like him, and that we shall have these glorified bodies. We believe in the resurrection if we have this faith. Oh, what a wonderful thing to believe then, and believe in Christ, to believe in this person that the eunuch was brought to believe in. And when he believed in him, you see, he wanted to follow him. He wanted to walk in his ways. And he did walk in his ways, because when Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What a wonderful thing, friends, to believe as Abraham did in Jesus Christ, looked forward to the day of Christ, saw it and was glad, and saw this lamb, God will provide himself a lamb, the same lamb that the eunuch was reading of in the 8th chapter of Acts. And we've also seen recently how that Peter saw this glorious person. Oh, he did indeed. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ with his own eyes, and he had witnessed the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I often feel that when Peter wrote his second epistle, you know, he shows us he never forgot that sight. He never forgot that wonderful experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. For he says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And he says, he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He heard that voice. This voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. He saw this glorious person in all his glory, and he never forgot the sight, and he never forgot the voice that came from heaven. But how did he speak of this lamb, dear Peter? Oh, this is how he speaks of him. Ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Peter saw this same person, you see, that Abraham sees. God will provide himself a lamb, and this lamb is what Peter sees. Yes, a lamb without blemish. This is the only person, friends, we can trust in for our salvation. Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altar slain, they were only types and shadows. Not all the blood of beasts on slain can give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain, but Christ the heavenly lamb takes all my sins away. A sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. This is the provision that Abraham is speaking of, surely, in the words of our text here in this wonderful chapter. Yes, God, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And so he did. He provided his own son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So this provision was made by God the Father. And you know, when John the Baptist began his preaching, he saw this same glorious person. And we read in the first chapter in John's Gospel that when John Baptist saw the Lord Jesus standing before him, he says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He sees this same person, you see, as the Lamb, as the one whom God has provided, as the one whom has been promised from all eternity, and who is now in the world, and John, as he sees him, he declares him to be the Lamb of God. Looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. God will provide himself a lamb. Surely this lamb is the rich provision that God has made whereby we are saved. And as we look back to him, as Abraham looked forward to him, so we shall be trusting in this blood of the Lamb alone for our salvation. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. But you know, as we go into the Revelation, you see this precious lamb there so much recorded in that wonderful book by John, as he wrote it in the hour called Patmos. And in so many of those chapters do you see the Lord Jesus Christ set before us as the Lamb in the midst of the throne. And you know, all the glory will be given to him. We read in the 5th chapter of that Revelation, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. This is the same person. Yes, this lamb stood there as if it had been slain. And surely it is speaking of him who had come into the world and had been slain, had been crucified on Calvary's tree. And we read that when he had taken the book, the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. See, he will have all the glory. He'll have all the praise in heaven because of what he's done, because of this great provision that Abraham saw. God will provide himself a lamb, and therefore all the glory will redound to him. They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for there was slain this lamb, slain, and thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And how glad we are, friends, that the word of God is being sent forth still into all these nations, to these people of different tongues. And so there will be many gathered out of those places because of this provision of the Lamb. Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You know, we are sometimes apt to just look little denomination or little people and we think how small we are. But when you think of the whole election of grace and the whole Church of God worldwide, it's a number that no man can number. And it will be gathered out of every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue. And every one of those people will give all the honour and glory to this glorious Lamb. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. What were they saying? What was their song? What was their praise? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. You see, the Lamb is all the glory in heaven. He is the one that we shall desire to see and to praise and to glorify to all eternity. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And you'll see as you go through this Revelation how many, many times the Lamb is spoken of, and it's always connected with praise and thanksgiving. In the 7th chapter, you have this. And I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. There's the election of God. There's the people of God. Abraham's spiritual seed, Jew and Gentile, gathered out of every nation, kindred, and people and tongue. And they all stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Every time. it's unto this glorious person. And then you know there's a question asked in that seventh chapter. Our friend, I believe, mentioned it in the interval. What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And he said, Sir, thou knowest, these are they that came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, this wonderful, glorious person. He is surely the one who stands out in the book of the Revelation, as he does in all the scriptures. But in this precious book of the Revelation, he is to be seen as the Lamb of God. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God, unto the Lamb. Yes, surely this is the wonder of heaven, the Lamb of God. And then, you know, we read concerning the marriage supper of the Lamb. We read of how the Lord's people will be prepared and made ready for that. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted. And how are we to be made ready? Only as we are found in Christ, trusting in this Lamb, washed in his blood, and covered with his righteousness. For to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. The fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Well might we read this, friends, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because if we are not there, friends, how solemn it will be. But if we are there, if we are found presently in that place prepared, it is a prepared place for a prepared people. And I believe we shall often be brought to that language, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Oh, we shall realize the greatness of those things that we uttered this morning, as we mention that hymn, pause my soul and ask the question, art they ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the church's living head? These are vital things, to know our interest in this glorious Lamb of God, in this provision that's been made from all eternity. You see, this has been made from all eternity. And Abraham, when he was in this position and taking his son up the hill to the Mount Moriah, he could see this provision. He could see it by faith. He could utter these words, friends, because he had that faith, that strong faith. He could say, my son, God will. See, it's a promise of what is to come. It's a promise that God will provide this lamb for a burnt offering, and so he did. And so now we can look back upon it. We can see that he was sent into the world. We can see that he was born in Bethlehem. We can see that he was offered up on the cross. We can see that he was raised again from the dead. And we know that this is the only provision for our souls. This is God's provision. These are remarkable words then, friends, from a remarkable man. A man who had great faith. And all that we may be able to pray for the same faith that Abraham had, as he uttered these remarkable words and said to his son Isaac, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. May you and I be trusting in this Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. For his name's sake, amen.